All right, this morning, if you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. You'll find in this chapter that the Lord has sent out, in the first part of the chapter, the Lord sends out 70. He sends those out two by two to be witnesses and to tell the things that he has accomplished. And they go out and they do the work the Lord has called them to do. And then in where we'll be reading this morning, beginning in verse number 17, these 70 have now returned to the Lord. And they have a good story to tell. They have a good message that they are thrilled about what the Lord has permitted them to do. And then the Lord tells them something that's even far greater. So this morning in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 17, the Bible reads, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and all over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not." The Lord now is going to teach him a lesson here in these next few words. He says, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What a wonderful thought it is this morning that my name is in heaven. Amen. I had Brother Bradley sing that last song, New Name Written Down in Glory. Our names as a believer, as a Christian, as one that holds to the cause of Christ, we can have joy today because our names are written in heaven. Now these disciples, these 70, they were all excited that they had power over some of the elements around them. They were able to have power over the wicked ones and the forces of evil against them. And the Lord told them, he said, "I've given you power to do that." And I'm glad it was given to them. It's not given to me. If you hold a snake up in front of me, I'm leaving. And that was given specifically to these witnesses of the Lord. And they come back rejoicing in that. And in all these verses this morning, the Lord says, just be assured that it's not because you can do miraculous things that really make a show to people. Now, people could see them stepping on a scorpion, not getting hurt. They could see them taking up a serpent, not getting bit. They could maybe seen them to have poison in their body and not destroy them. That was an outward show of what God had given them the ability to do. But he said it's far more important. He says, notwithstanding, even though you can do that, don't rejoice over those things, but rejoice that your name is written. Thank God this morning our names are written in heaven. And it's amazing when we go through circumstances of life how the Lord directs our thoughts and we sort of change our thinking. My thinking has been changed a little bit over the last month or so. I'm sure Donna's thinking has been changed over these months that she's undergone those treatments and fighting that battle. And all of us, our thinking is upon the present tense of what's going on. And these 70, they were thinking about all the great things God had given them. They were thinking about, and they come back, the Bible says here, they came with joy. They came back to the Lord joyful in their heart. And they said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." In this, we find that There is a sovereign knowledge that God has. There's not a thing that's befallen any of us that the Lord has not already known about. There's not a thing that has come our way that has not already been by the Lord. He was tempted in all points like you and I. And he understands every condition of life. Last week, last Sunday morning, I preached on those seas of despair. And we all have them. I mean, we have difficulties that come to us. Job, as I said last week, Job said, man that's born of woman is a few days, and those days are full of trouble. And if you're not in trouble, you just wait a little bit, you're going to be in trouble. You might be able to say, "Whoa, I'm glad that's over with, that trouble's over." Well, you just hold on, because there's another one coming. A man that's born of woman's few days. Doesn't matter how long we live, it's just a few days compared to eternity. And Job said, those days are full of trouble. So the Lord has a sovereign knowledge about every one of us. Now, the report that we got from Amy about a month ago, it shocked us. I mean, it it hit us very hard and very difficult. I'm sure others, Brother Paul, it hits very hard. And those times of life come to us. But what a rejoicing that we can have is God knows all about it. God can handle it. Not only does he know about it, but I'm glad he can take care of it. I'm glad he can handle it in his time and his way. So there's a sovereign knowledge and there's a supernatural power. He says there in verse number 19, he says, "Behold, I have given unto you power." I've given you that power that you can tread on scorpions, you can pick up snakes, you can take in poison. He said to these 70, "I have given you that power," and it's a supernatural power. Nobody else has it, and I don't believe anybody else has had it since then. It was given in this transitional period from what we call Old Testament to New Testament, from the temple worship to the church worship. God was giving them signs and wonders that people would know that it was God doing all that. And so he says here, "I have given that unto you." He is really, he's really telling them, "I've given you that power necessary to do what I ask you to do." You and I this morning, we can be assured that God still gives us the power to do what he wants us to do. He's still able to perform those things in our life that we need. Now, I can tell you right now, I don't need to pick up a snake. I've never touched one, don't want to touch one. And so I don't need that, but I do need things in my life that God can give me to do what he wants us to do. And so this morning, I want to just think on the thought, "He knows my name." Praise the Lord. He knows us. We're not an afterthought. He knows us. It's not something that just come about. Thank God, in the sovereign wisdom and knowledge and power of God, he knows my name. And my name is over on the other side because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing that we can understand, that he knows my name. Now, I know a lot of people, but I don't know a lot of people's names. I've met a lot of people and I forget their names. And I'll see, somebody says, "You don't know me, do you?" Sometimes I have to admit, no, I don't. Sometimes I have to say, "Well, I know your face, but I can't remember your name." I saw somebody the other day say, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "Well, I remember your face." And they told me who they were, and then I put it all together. I'm glad God's not that way. He knows my name. He knows my face. He knows my place. He knows everything about us. And so I'm glad this morning that he knows our name. I think it's important that people know who we are. We like for folks that we come in contact with. It's very impressive sometimes when you meet someone and they only hear your name one time. I'm not this fortunate in my memory. And then 2 or 3 years down the road, they can call your name again. There's a fellow here in town. He owns a business. And I bought something from him 30 years ago. And I walked in his store the other day, and he knew my name. I thought, "Wow, I don't know your name." But he knew my name, and he knew, he remembered everything about us. So we want folks to remember our name, whether it be our banker or our doctor or our neighbor, whoever it is, names are important. We're not just a face in a sea of faces. We have individual names. We have individual personalities. And I'm glad God knows my name. The Bible says in Psalm 147, rather, verse 4, he telleth the number of the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. But if he can name all the stars and call them by name, I think he knows who I am. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 30, sometimes we make a joke about this. It says, the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Well, mine's in subtraction right now, and they're going down all the time. But he knows who we are. He knows all the important things about us. He knows all the unimportant things about us. Who would have ever thought that we have a God that could know how many hairs in my head? He has to continually be counting for some of us. Brother Larry, he don't have to count too much for you. And those things are our past. Brother Tom, we won't say too much. But he knows our name. He numbers us. He has the ability to know everything about us. But the most important thing is he knows my name. And as we sung just the song a moment ago, he's got it in heaven. And so I'm going to, if I don't get a, be careful, I'm going to get ahead of myself. He knows my name. First of all, it is written in heaven. What a better place. There's no better place to have your name written. Now, I could go this morning to just down the road about 40, 45 miles to Caldwell County. And I could go into the courthouse there and I could find the date and the record of my birth. I was born in Caldwell County Hospital October 3rd, 1951. And I could go there and find that record, and my name is there. The name that my mom and dad gave me, it is written down there. I wish they hadn't given me all of them, but they gave me my name. I'm not, I don't like my middle name too much, as a lot of people don't, but my name is written there on those records. Oh, but thank God, more important than that, my name's written in that record. It's written in heaven. And this morning we can rejoice that our names are written in heaven because he has saved us. We have that personal relationship with him. Jesus told these folks, these 70, rejoice because your names have been written in heaven. We ought to have joy this morning, no matter what the turmoil of life, no what the struggle of life is. Think about it. Our name's in heaven. We have a place where one day we're going because our name is there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, to him that overcometh, I will give a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, no man knoweth. I'm reminded that it is grace that has saved us, and the goodness of the Lord that has prolonged our life and have continually forgiven us of our wickedness in our life. Oh, but I'm glad today all those things are so important. But I'm glad most importantly he knows my name. He don't have to, we all have social security numbers. He don't care about social security number. He knows my name. I can go down here to the social security office. They don't care about my name, but I got to put that number in. And then that brings up my name. Well, the Lord knows my name before he ever gets the number. And he has all those things together for us. I've been set free. I've been set free from the bonds of sin and the chains of despair. That song that we sang just a moment ago, I was reading that as y'all sang that. It says, I will sing the wondrous story. And those verses, as I read those words, how they touched my heart. Because I knew what I was going to be preaching this morning. And the song says, I was lost, but Jesus found me. like that sheep that had gone astray. Then the next verse says, I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Praise God. He did all those things for us. And the song says, faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone. Fears possess us. But then the last part of that verse, but he freed me from them all. And then verse 4. Even though I've been freed, even though I've had all those good things happen to me, days of darkness still come over me. The darkness overshadows us. And the despair of life and the problems that come to each of us, those are dark days. Those are days that are hard to handle. Those are days that we sometimes don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know what to say or what action to have. So the days of darkness, they still come over me. And sorrow's path, the songwriter says, I often tread. Sometimes I walk the pathway of sorrow. But thank God, the next part of that verse says, but the Savior still is with me, and by His hand I am led. Thank God, my name's in heaven. Amen. Thank the Lord, the joy that God has given to me. It has been written in heaven. And thank the Lord for all the blessings. Not only has my name been written in heaven, but my Bible tells me that my name has been graven on His hand. Now, not only is my name in heaven, but my name is graven in His hand. If you don't believe that, just read Isaiah 49:16. Isaiah says, behold, here the Lord is speaking to Isaiah. Behold, Isaiah, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Right here. I heard a preacher preaching one time. He's not of the same stripe as we are. And he wasn't too, he doesn't believe that you saved eternally. But he got to preaching on that verse. Buddy, I was agreeing what he said. All of a sudden, he realized what he's saying. He said, "Now I'm not preaching eternal security." He did it and couldn't help it. It was there. It's there. Our Savior says, our God says, that our names have been engraven on His palms of His hands. We've been cut in. We have been carved into the very hands of the Lord. It's not the idea of something written in ink. I've got an ink pen here. I can write on that, and after a period of time, you know what it does? It fades, just like those pictures you were copying this morning. I have some old sermon outlines that I preached 35 years ago. The paper's got yellow, and the ink has got weak. It fades away. I've got some sermons of my pastor that I grew up under, and when he died, he gave me a whole satchel full of his notes. I wouldn't take anything for them. But boy, the paper is brown now, and his handwriting, some of it is hard to read because the time has taken a toll on it, just like time takes a toll on us. We fade away. And all of a sudden, we're not here. But the Lord says, I have engraven your name in my hands. It's the idea that we have a relationship with God that can never be taken away. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, chapter number 19, I was thinking about that word graven, and all of a sudden I remembered this portion of Scripture. Job in Job 19 says, oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book. And then the next verse 24, He says that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. You see, when something is graven or engraven, it's there. It may, sometimes the color that's printed on it may fade away. You can go to old cemeteries, you can find headstones that have been there over 100 years. You may not can see everything that's there real easy. You may have to get real close to it, but if you'll get real close, you'll find out that that has been engraven, and the graving is still there. Time hadn't diminished it. Time hadn't tore it down. Time hadn't taken it away. It's there. And the Lord says, not only is my name in heaven, but thank God my name's in his hand. And we have the joy of knowing that. We have a Lord. He knows my name because of that personal relationship that I have. But it's a permanent relationship that we have with our Lord. What God does, he does forever. And I thank God this morning, I'm in the grip of the hand of God. We sing sometimes a song about holding the hand of God. That's a little bit wrong. He's holding my hand, I hold back. He's got the grip. He's got the way to hold me, and I'm hanging on for dear life. He has no trouble doing that. When we think about a hand, we think about that grip. And he's got a hold of us, and I've got a hold of him. He knows my name. Thank God this morning, my name's in heaven. What a wonderful thing. Jesus said, don't rejoice over these other things. Rejoice that you know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice, Isaiah. You may go through all the struggles and all the problems that Isaiah was going through, but God says, that's okay, Isaiah, because I've engraven your name in my hand. That means he carries it with him everywhere he goes. Just like we carry the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. We have our names graven in his hand. A relationship that is a covenant has been made, a promise. During the days gone by, there would be times when two men would make a promise to each other, and some in the Old Testament. And the way that they would do that, instead of signing something, they would engrave it in their hand. They would cut themselves, and they'd put the dirt, and they'd put all those things that would make it fester and infected. And would scab over. You know what it does? Excuse me. It would leave a scar. And I've got scars here, and I've got scars other places. And it's been engraven there. And it does not pass away, does not go away. And the Lord says, the scar. He has a scar in his hand. You know what the scar is, don't you? As he hung there on the cross of Calvary, hanging by the nails. And we sang the old song, the nail-scarred hand of our Lord. Well, just remember, in that scarred hand is the name of who you are. In that scarred hand of what he gave himself, gave his life, shed his blood. And now the scar is there. He's reminded. He knows. Oh, he knows every one of us. My name's written there. In the land bright and fair. Thank God my name is there. It's written over there. It's written in heaven. It's written in his hand. But thirdly and lastly this morning, I believe our names are written in his head, his thoughts. Brother Larry read an interesting verse this morning in our Sunday school. And I marked that, and I said, I'm going to read that again. And it's so prevalent and so good concerning this. He says in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I've got some, but that'd be better. It's cold. God knows our thoughts. So I'm in his head. I'm in his mind. I'm in his life. Not only is my name in heaven, not only is my name in his hand, my name is in his head. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. He says there in that verse that we had in Sunday school, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is our expected end this morning? Do we just live and survive? Do we just barely make it? Then there's a day come that somebody will read about all of our obituary. It'll tell where we were raised, tell where we was born, tell what we did, tells where we go to church, tells all those things about us. Is that all we do? Is that all we live for? If it is, we're of all men most miserable. He knows my expected end. Now, what is that? And I didn't have it, Brother Larry, you read that this morning, my mind went wild. My expected end is heaven. That's where my name is. That's where my address is. That's where my home is. I was watching a movie yesterday. It was a religious movie, pretty good movie. And the fellow had been shot, and he was dying, and he was witnessing to the fellow was lost. And he said, I'm going home. Now the lost man, he thought he was talking about, he said, yeah, we're taking you back. We're taking you back to the States. Everything be well. He said, no, that's not the home I'm talking about. He said, I'm going home. What was he talking about? He's talking about his expected end. That when we leave this world, we don't just leave like a dog. We're not an animal, regardless of what education tells us we're not the highest form of animal life. There's no animal life about the child of God. We're made in the image of God. And so therefore we're not in the animal kingdom. We're a human. And I have an expected end, and that end is with the Lord Jesus Christ, where my name is. Who knows when we get there? He may open up his hand, the palm of his hand, and my name may appear. I might not see anybody else's, but I see mine. That's the only one I'm worried about. And when you get there, maybe the same thing. I'm dreaming now. But we're going home. Because one day he died on Calvary. He gave his life. That all my trails of darkness, he could take care of. That all my despair, he could heal. All my burdens he can carry. And we're going to that expected end there that he told Jeremiah. Oh, I'm glad this morning I know my expected end. But I'm very sorrowful for those others that are not saved. I know their expected end also. Dying without God, no hope. His thoughts are toward us. His ways are more than our ways. Psalm number 40 and verse number 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. God thinks about us. We're not just here by ourselves. We'd hate to face everything that we face if we had to do it by ourselves. I'll tell you real quickly, I couldn't handle that. I can't face the struggles of life. A couple years ago when I woke up from surgery and they said it was cancer, I couldn't handle that by myself. I haven't been able to handle this throat problem by myself. But thank God I have one that thinks about me and one that helps me. I have one that can undergird and strengthen and lift me up because my name is in heaven. My name is in his hand. And my name is in his head. He thinks about us. He good thoughts to usward. It's been written in his heart. We have a covenant love I mentioned a moment ago. It's not his, he's not going to forget us. He's not going to forsake us. He will never fail us. That's that covenant that he's made with us through the blood. I mean his life. We have a conquering love. Never be separated from that. We can conquer. What did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ. What does he say? All things work together for good. He's our strength. He's our encourager. In the cold of the night and the heat of the day, I'm glad he's a person that thinks about me. I'm glad he's the one, a God that loves me. And soon, very soon, it will be a consummation love. It's all going to be over. I have to agree with what I heard some time back, and I've said it before. Sometimes I pray more for my disappearance than I do his appearance. I say, Lord, would you not come and just get me out of this mess? Lord, would you not come and we just don't have to worry about this old world anymore? You know what we're really praying about? Our disappearance. We're real spiritual, so we say, Lord, would you not come? I think we'll just say, Lord, would you not come? I'm in your thoughts. I'm in your heaven. I'm in your hand. Lord, would you not come just to let me be in your presence? That's the consummation of the great love that God has for us. One day, he's coming. One day soon, and I believe very soon, our Lord shall return. We'll hear the sound, the voice of the archangel. We'll hear the trump of God. And the only people in this world that will hear that are those that have their ear tuned to heaven. Forget what the world tells you. When it's all over, we're not all going to heaven. Like I said not too long ago, when you see a funeral on TV, who it doesn't matter how wretched, wicked person they are, they're all going to heaven. They're looking down upon us. What falsehood. The Apostle Paul said, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And I'll tell you what, whoever those witnesses are, some think it's those that he's just talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, and very well so. Some think it's the witnesses that's gone on before us, moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. You know where they are? They're in heaven. And they're looking down upon us. Why? Because their name was in his heaven. Their name was in his hand. Their name was in his heart. And they come to their expected end. They went to heaven. And that's where one day I'm going. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, don't rejoice that you have power over the elements. Don't rejoice that you can pick up a snake, or don't rejoice you can take up a scorpion. Don't rejoice that you can drink the poison. Don't rejoice over those. But you just rejoice because your name's in heaven. And your expected end is that one day you'll occupy the mansion that he has for us. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you that where I am there you may be also. Don't have to worry about what this old world has. He has a better world ahead of us. That is our expected end. I expect to have prayer here in a few moments. I expect to eat lunch. Expect to do things this afternoon for tonight. Expect tonight. Have the baptism. I expect all those things that we expect to do every day of our life. But I've got one expectation that only he can survive or provide for me. And that's one day when he says, come up hither. I'm praying in rapture. I'm not afraid of dying, but I sure don't want to go through the steps of it. I don't go through the struggles of it. But if that's my expected end, God will give grace. God will give life. God will give ability. And so Jesus told his disciples, you're rejoicing over the wrong thing. That's what I almost titled the message this morning. Joy over the wrong thing. And they were rejoicing over the wrong thing. And Jesus didn't take long. Him to set them straight. You just be happy. All these other things are byproducts. You just be happy that your name is written there. Let's stand together this morning.